Welcome to Albuquerque Real Estate Talk, episode 482. Tracy, it is the first week of March 2024, and it's Tego and Tracy Venturi, as always, talking about real estate here in the Albuquerque market. And this week we have the latest on the February home sales data for Albuquerque. We'll go through that and look at the trends and prices and price appreciation and sales and all that fun stuff that I always love to do.
All those great numbers you love.
Yeah. And then we also have a little bit of national housing news this week. Chair Powell talked about housing this week, Chairman Powell with the Fed, some of the stuff there. And then, of course, there was the State of the Union address where the Biden administration talked about a few housing proposals. And we'll get into that, as well as state legislature. A couple bills related to housing just got passed and signed by the governor. We'll talk about that. And then a couple things, Tracy, a couple questions that have been coming up. One was about assumable mortgages.
Right. Yep.
And the other was about down payment.
Yep. I know.
How to get down payments.
Yep. I know. The word is a four-letter word.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Let's start right there.
Okay. And we're going to talk about gifts, the four-letter word, right?
The gifts. Gift.
So, you know, a lot of people might not realize that you can gift money to somebody for their down payment for most loan types, right, Tego?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a gift has to be a gift, though, and there has to be a letter that says this is a gift. And, you know, a lot of people need that help right now to get into their homes. So if, you know, you have a child or somebody in your life that's important to you, doing a gift could be really helpful to help them get into home ownership.
Well, there was a story kind of floating around in the real estate econ housing world that I follow that had to do with how much equity the baby boomers have in their homes. So baby boomers have a lot of equity. It's like over $1 trillion. I don't remember the number. It's a huge, no, it was more than, it was this huge.
Trillions.
Trillions. It was this ginormous number.
Trillions.
Let's just say ginormous. That's, yeah, that sums it up. But the point is, one of the thoughts is this is going to let the boomers, you know, help their kids with down payments.
Probably kids and grandkids, Tego. The boomers are older than me. I'm the very, very tail end of that.
I am too.
Yeah, you barely.
I'm a tweener. I'm not a boomer, and I'm not quite an X either. So I don't know where I am. But anyway.
So all of that equity they have that eventually might go to family members, a lot of people are considering maybe taking some of that equity and gifting it now to help family members get into homes. Now, people can gift to somebody who's not a family member also. Doesn't have to be a relative.
I do know, and I have experience with this with a friend that went through this where they got a gift, used it as a down payment, and then about a month later after they moved in, they called the person that gave the gift and wrote the letter for the gift to verify that it really was a gift and they weren't getting paid back on that, like a little side loan deal. Because they will check it.
Yeah, you left out a key word. The lender called.
Yes.
Oh, the person who wrote the letter.
Oh, got it. Yes.
To verify that it was in fact a gift. So yeah, you have to be ready for something like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's not a gift, it's not a gift, and it's
right.
Mortgage fraud, basically.
Right.
So I've got some stats here, Tracy, on where do people from 24 to 32 get their down payment? And interesting, 64%, two-thirds are just savings. They saved up. A lot of that has to do with there are great programs, low down payment. You know, there's the FHA program that's 3.5% down. There's some conventional programs that are 3% down.
First-time buyer programs that you can almost get money back. We just had one last month where the person was scheduled to get $286 back. They had paid for their appraisal. They had put $500 earnest money down. So it wasn't completely getting $286, but they were maybe out $500, $600 and they could walk into home ownership
with the
Mortgage Finance Authority.
Well, the other two ones, so it was savings with 64% of these 24 to 32, sale of a prior home, 22%. So they used the equity. They pulled that out.
So the young crowd there already had a house.
Yes.
Yeah.
At least 22%
of
them.
Smart of them. Yeah.
And then of course, the third one is the gift that we're talking about. 19% of these people used a gift to help with their down payment. And there's some other things here like tax refund, inheritance, loan from a family. So you can't do that. Loan from a friend or family. Yeah. You can't do that. It's a 3%. Sale of stock, 9%. 401k pension, 4%. I mean, anyway.
Yeah. Smaller numbers compared to the main reasons. Yeah.
So anyway, it's just you know, people need to keep that in mind that gift can be used. And if you're somebody that wants to help somebody with their first time purchase, you can do that.
So this isn't really real estate related, but as our tax code allows you to gift a certain amount every year to your children, and it's not a taxable benefit, right? It's like, that's a good way to do it. You know, you're not going to go get a HELOC and pay 11% on your money to gift money to your child. But if you need the funds, or if your child needs the funds, you can gift them. I can't remember the amount right now. It used to be like 10,000. I think it's more like 15,000 now. And there's no tax consequence for that gift.
So
I'm obviously not a tax professional from all that incorrect information.
I was waiting for you to say that. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying there is some limit out there that it's very great, because a lot of people gift that amount every year because they know eventually they are going to be passing on a lot of wealth they've built throughout their life. And so they're slowly doing a little bit every year.
You know, the thing is about that tax advice, you know, we hear things and it's, you know, kind of hearsay maybe. And we're like, but then we go and research it and try to figure it out and figure out what the story is. And that happened to me this week. We got, actually you and I got tax advice, and it triggered me to go look into it some more. Let's talk about the housing market data from February of 24 for the Albuquerque market. And I put a video out here earlier this week. You can check it out on our YouTube channel and subscribe. We're almost to 1,000 subscribers.
So. Yeah, please get on our YouTube channel and hit follow.
Yeah,
subscribe.
That's Facebook.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so let me just run through some of these numbers. And really, I'll tell you the TLDR, as I said, too long don't read, is that sales were relatively slow. Even though February is generally the slowest closing month of the year, because those are usually homes that went under contract in December, January, for example. And so we did have about 700 homes that sold in February of 24. That was about 4% more than last year. So it wasn't a huge move, but last year was exceptionally slow. One of the slowest months we've had in a very, very long time of like any month, you know, February of 23. So, you know, sales are happening. The thing that jumped out at me, though, is the price range under $250,000. It's down to only 100 of those, 700? So 100 of those 700 homes were $250,000 or less. And like we've been talking about, you know, the $200,000 house is kind of not even a thing anymore in our market.
It's a condo or a manufactured home.
Yeah. And then now 250 and under is dwindling as well. And in that price range, it was 35% less home sales. Where you start getting up in the higher price points, like 400 to 600, it was 35% more sales. So it's just
moving up.
They're just moving up because that's what we have available. And I'll jump to two things I want to highlight is inventory. We talk about inventory. Okay. Number of homes on the market, number of homes available to purchase. We know it's been very low since 2019. And really it started in mid 2019. And then the, you know, pandemic exacerbated it, where we just had few homes on the market. We're ending in February, we had about 1,200 homes on the market, which was about 13% more than last year. And last year was about 50% more than 22, just for comparison. So 22 is exceptionally low. So it's slowly we're getting a little bit more, but it's still a very, very low number. We're still running at 1.5 month supply, which is that ratio of supply versus demand. 1.5 is exceptionally low. I remember when we hit 3 month supply here, probably in 2019, I was just going, oh my gosh, this is just like unbelievable how low, you know, the month supply of inventory is. And now we're at 1.5. Granted, back in 22, it was like less than a month supply. So, you know, we've definitely got a little bit more padding, if you will, for homes on the market. Prices.
And go ahead. We're into March. You said it's like the end of the first week of March, right? Last Saturday was the first.
Yeah.
So we're about to see more homes coming on the market, and we do have a lot of buyers. I know this week, Tego, the Street on the Feet, our team members, there were, you know, offers being made and a lot of competition in all price ranges.
You just said Street on the Feet, right?
Yeah, no, I did not know.
Yeah.
Feet on the Street.
That was awesome, though.
Street on the Feet.
I know what you meant. Everybody out listening did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's competitive in all price ranges. You know,
it is.
We saw a house that was like $1,350,000 go pending right away. And then we had somebody calling saying, I was going to write an offer on that. I thought I had till Monday. And you're like, if you find the right house, you've got to move on it, right? It's that kind of a market. There just isn't enough inventory.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's this kind of like you look at the data and say, oh, home sales are slow. There's not a lot of sales happening. Well, there were still 700 in February, the slowest month of the year, right? So homes are selling, right? It's just not at that frantic pace that we definitely had from, you know, even from 2019 all the way through till mid 22, for example.
Right.
So anyway, prices, everybody wants to know how much of, you know, have prices gone up? Have prices gone down? I generally just look at year over year changes. So I'm comparing February of this year to February of 23. We saw price per square foot, which is a pretty good measurement of, you know, just total appreciation because it eliminates some of the stuff you get with averages. But right around 7 to 8% price per square foot increase from a year ago. So we're tracking somewhere in there. Some other data I've been looking at has us tracking somewhere around maybe as low as 5% year over year price appreciation. It's just depend on how you track it, but that does appear to be where we're at. And I think this kind of goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, is, you know, the lower price point saw a 10% appreciation, the higher price point saw 4% appreciation. So, you know, there's a range there depending on what market you are in. So that's the quick and dirty of February market update. Again, I just did a long video deep dive on the market data for February. If you want to take a look at it on YouTube.
And really, those are all the things people need to know about, Tego. It was right there. But
well, it's
the long version's good if you're, you know, going to be in the market as a buyer or seller.
There's one other thing, though. I think if you're a seller, you want to know, okay, are prices going up or prices going down? How fast are homes selling? That's the one I didn't hit on. And so I'll just give you an idea. And on average, in Albuquerque, homes, it was 41 days from on market till it went pending or, you know.
Got an accepted offer.
Yep. 41 days for the homes that closed in February. Now, if you look at median days, it was 21 days. So that means that, again, of those homes that closed in February, half of them sold in 21 days. Half of them took longer than 21 days.
Less than 21 days.
Is that what I said?
Not half. Sold in 21
both
days.
Both of us are misspeaking today.
That's all right. That's why we have each other.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting statistic. And this wasn't on the agenda, but I had a client call from Arizona this week that has some land in the East Mountains near Frost in North 14, about just over 2 acres. And they were wondering about the market for it. So I kind of did a land search there and they said, what would I need to price this at for it to sell in 45 days? And I looked and for the past year, the average days on market was 244 for closed properties. The active properties were more than a year. So there was, you know, I was like, I don't know. You know, sometimes it's not all about price. It's the right parcel that the right person is looking for, right?
Well, especially a piece of land, because there's not a big pool of people looking to buy land and build. I mean, they're out there, but it's just not a huge.
Yeah. It's got to be they want that area, that location, the right utilities are present and all of that. So anyway, it was interesting because I was surprised at how long it was.
Tracy, there was, and by the way, this is Tego and Tracy Venturi, the Venturi Group of Real Broker. You can call us at 505-448-8255. 448-8888. I don't even know if I gave a number at the beginning of the show this time.
It's all right. 448-8888. It's an easy one. All our listeners probably know it.
Just Google Venturi.
We just need a jingle, right? Yeah, a jingle. 448-8888.
There we go.
There we go. I want to talk about a coming soon house because I don't want to run out of time. We have a really great property that'll be available to be shown sometime next week, maybe Wednesday. It's incoming soon, but it's not ready to be shown yet. It's at 10113 San Bernardino Northeast. It's North Albuquerque Acres, so it's a 0.89 acre lot. We call it an acre, but it's really 0.89. It's an interesting little neighborhood off San Bernardino and Eubank, just south of Paseo. It's a gated community of 10 homes, and this house is going to be $825,000. It's about 3,300 square feet, four bedrooms, really well done. It sort of works itself around sort of a courtyard, so your outdoor living is very protected. The owner's suite is up. The other three bedrooms are on a wing on the main floor. There's two living areas, so the formal and more of a family room kind of connected to the kitchen area. So that one's coming. If you're looking for something in North Albuquerque Acres, $825,000, let us know and we can put you on the schedule to see it when it becomes available. So
awesome.
Good opportunity. We've already been getting calls because, you know, there's just not that much up there.
No, it for sure. I wanted to just talk about some of the federal things that happened this week related to housing. First was the proposals that the White House put out the day before the State of the Union address, some different proposals related to housing. And interesting commentary on this because, like, so some of those proposals, Tracy, it was like some plan to build 2 million new homes.
Yeah, we're just going to go build 2 million new homes for to lower rents and help with home buyers, right?
I'm sorry. Honestly, us that are doing this every day, you see some of this stuff and we do kind of have to laugh because, you know, in the State of the Union, he said that there's whatever, 2 million, you know,
1.7 million housing units in the works.
Well, first off, most of those are apartment units.
Right.
They're not single family houses. And that's not like a significant number, actually.
It's
not really. But anyway,
apartments don't help people with wealth building in their lifetime.
No,
right?
there are way more apartment units in the pipeline than there are single family houses to purchase in the pipeline.
So one of the other things that was mentioned was the plan to have a $10,000 tax credit for first time home buyers and people in starter homes to lower their rental costs, along with efforts to lower the rental costs.
Well,
but it was $400 a month,
right?
When you buy, right?
Yes,
$400 a month to help offset. So I don't know how they envision that happening and how you prove that you qualify. But
well, I'm not going to do any politics here, but let's just say some people called it, you know, buying votes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what some people called it. I didn't say that. I'm just telling you what people said. No, anyway, so the thing is, it was, this is what I took from that whole thing and just kind of break it down here, is it was a lot of politics, right? We you know, it was a lot of stuff. We're doing something to help with housing and the housing crisis and the cost of housing and the housing. But they didn't talk to us, though. But they were,
right?
You know, a lot of it was just throwing money at helping people buy.
Right.
But we don't need more demand.
We have demand,
but demand is not the problem. And yes, affordability is a problem. We need supply.
Right.
And there was nothing in here about supply.
The supply is affected by policies, availability of materials, cost of materials, cost of infrastructure, the bureaucracy to get something out of the ground.
To be fair,
all those things.
The Fed, at the federal level, there's not much that they can do because most of the housing building challenges are at the local level. They're at the city, county, state level. And so, I don't know.
A lot
we'll
of
see.
It, Tico, you know how I don't really follow politics, but what I hear every election cycle, no matter what it is people throw all these things out and they say, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And me as somebody who really doesn't pay much attention. What I hear is, well, why didn't you do it already if you're already in office? And why do you throw all this stuff out there that you're going to do, but then it really never happens?
Well, you know? And I will be fair. There's some stuff here that has to go through the Congress, right? We have three branches of government, and Congress has to give the funds. It can't just be an executive order. So, you know, I guess my takeaway is, okay, they realize it's a big problem. We obviously, feet on the street, we know it's a big problem, affordability. But I want to segue to what the state just did, because we just had the state
legislature,
and there were, gosh, I think there were maybe 6 to 10 different bills or proposals that were run through that all related to housing. But there was one big one, and it was HB 195. And it was pretty big. It had a lot to do that. Let me just summarize it really quick so we don't go in the weeds here too long. But basically, it was more money for down payment assistance programs. So that through New Mexico Mortgage Finance Authority. There was expanding the New Mexico Finance Authority's powers, because right now they have a fund to help with construction for commercial, like industrial, to help, you know, lure businesses into New Mexico. And again, if I'm getting this wrong and somebody's an expert on this, I apologize, but this is the way I understand it. But they've expanded that fund to be available for helping develop residential. Hmm. And that is something we need.
That is something we need.
What I hear from developers is, you know, it's a 2-year process. It's very expensive. Building all that infrastructure, you've got millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars out to get that deal done, and getting actually credit to do those projects is tough. So I'm hopeful that this might be, you know, at least it's dealing with the supply side and right, not just throwing money at the unaffordability issue.
Right. Obviously, we're all for having money for people to become homeowners as first timers, or
right.
Yeah. For sure, we believe in that too. It's just we need the supply to be able to sell the houses to those people. So I know a lot of people that probably would get into home ownership right now if there were some incentives like that. Be really great.
It was just one last thing on some of these kind of bigger real estate stories is Chairman Powell, Chairman Powell, yeah. U.S. Fed. He had his, I don't know what they call it, the hearing, the talk, the interview before Congress on Thursday this week. And there was a few things he did talk about related to housing. And it was interesting because he highlighted that there's difficulties with zoning, labor shortages, material availability, you know, and so, I mean, these are things you just mentioned off the top of your head, and it's good to see that they recognize that. But of course, the Fed can't do anything about that.
Maybe on the supplies, they can.
I don't know. I mean, you know, they're trying to get inflation under control. That's the one thing that they can control.
I'm thinking about shipping through the Red Sea.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
That's probably delaying some things, having to go around. But
oh, for sure.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's so many things that are putting pressure on costs in everything, as we know, but it, you know, includes housing. And, you know, and just a little side note, Tracy, we were talking with our good friend who's an insurance broker, real famous? That's
famous?
Not the right word. Well-known. You know, he's been in the business a long time here, knows the insurance world really, really well. And just...
Are you not going to say his name?
Oh, you mean, no, we can say
Bill Tobin.
Yeah, Bill Tobin.
Farmers Insurance.
Yeah. And he, you know, every insurance person we talk to is saying the same thing, is that it's been tough because everybody's rates are going up, and it's across the board. It's across all companies. So again, it's just one more thing that's adding to costs.
Yeah.
For sure.
And running into Bill Tobin at Costco kept us from probably filling our cart, because we stood and talked about insurance and housing for probably 45 minutes the other night.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, okay. Tracy,
Tego, a lot of open houses this weekend. I know it's been beautiful and we all felt like spring was here and it's been sunny and warm. And this weekend, it's not going to be as nice, but there are a lot of open houses going on all over the city, all over the metro. If you're interested in touring homes, you can call us and we can set up a tour of homes for you. So it's at your time and your convenience and see many all at once, or we can help you find those open houses, or you can get on our website at welcomehomeabq.com. And we have a tab for open houses, not just the ones Venturi Realty Group is doing, but all open houses that realtors have put through our multiple listing service. So good opportunity.
Yeah. Something came up, Tracy. You know, I taught a class at the association this week about using artificial intelligence, ChatGPT. But somebody started talking about this idea that there's homes being promoted that say they have an assumable mortgage. So I wanted to talk about assumable mortgages and what's the deal with that.
So you had a long conversation with a great local lender this week to just kind of get that perspective in addition. So tell us, what is the deal with assumable mortgages? Because it seems like there's that's out. It's a buzz thing right now out in the world here.
Well, and you know why it is, obviously. It's because there's people that have these 3-4% mortgages existing, FHA mortgages, VA mortgages, and USDA mortgages. All of those type of mortgages are assumable with qualification.
With qualification, yes, they are.
So if you're a homeowner and you've got a mortgage that's got a 3% on it or 4% or something on it, well, that's going to be really desirable to a new home buyer if they can qualify to assume that mortgage. The if is the big part. And
a couple of things about
what the process is. Yeah.
So, Tego, if somebody bought a house and it was $200,000 10 years ago and now it's worth $400,000 and they got a loan, a VA assumable loan or whatever assumable loan, okay, it wasn't 10 years ago at 3%. A few years ago at 3%, and now it's worth $150,000 more. Somebody can assume the loan, but the value of the loan is much less than the actual price of the home right now.
Right.
So how does that work?
That's one of the biggest challenges with this. So first off, yes, there are mortgages out there that can be assumable. And yes, you're going to start seeing those on property listings when you're searching for homes online. It's going to say this home has a mortgage that's potentially assumable. But the big if is, okay, what's the balance of the mortgage? What's the interest rate? Does it even make sense? What's the lender process to do that? Because the existing lender has to approve it and you got to go through the whole process. And then, of course, what is the equity? How much does that seller, have an equity of that home? So can you bring $100,000 for the down payment if they have that much equity?
If you're only going to get a loan for the $150 remaining balance and the house is now $300, then the loan is only $150 and you can't just get a second loan for the rest of that, right?
Well, this is what I've learned is that in some cases, yes. Some cases, the servicer that has the loan will actually give the second for that
at a different rate.
At a different rate. But it's all very much case-by-case basis. One of the things that I don't like about this right now is we're starting to see homes that are listed for sale that come in through the MLS. And these websites are starting to put these homes up there saying, hey, this has an assumable mortgage. The seller has no idea that that's being added to their home when it goes on the market.
It's something external that somebody's looking at the tax rolls or something, right?
They're looking at the mortgage database.
Database, and they're putting it out there and trying to get you to call them to figure out, how to buy that house and assume that mortgage.
Yeah. And the thing that's interesting about it, I don't really even know how those people get paid because it's not like they're starting a new loan. They are just helping them assume the previous loan.
So if you're a lender and if this really happens, can people really assume them and do they get approved? Do lenders really want to let somebody take on a 3% or do they make it too many hurdles that you really can't do it? We'd love to hear from you if you have any insight on what's really happening behind the scenes.
Actually, you don't know this, but I have a meeting with somebody nationally that does this. So I'm going to learn even more about it. So
perfect. Awesome.
Because it's one of those things you go, this could be really great for somebody. This could be really great for a seller, for example. Let's say you do have a home, and let's say you've got a $200,000 balance and the worst home is worth $300,000 and you've got this 3% or 4% mortgage. Well, that would be a big incentive for a buyer if they could assume that mortgage for sure, right? As a seller. The caveat, the way I understand it with the seller, is the seller has to, of course, agree to it, and they need to make sure that they don't continue to have liability on that mortgage after the deal's done. Some lenders do and some lenders don't.
Right. Okay.
So, anyway, that was a lot packed in, you know, about this assumable mortgage, but I did want to hit on it because it is something that is coming up now.
Yep.
And Tracy, episode 4, what were we on here? 482. It's Albuquerque Real Estate Talk with Tego and Tracy Venturi.
482 in the books.
In the books, yes.
Yeah.
How do people reach us?
Yep. Give us a ring, 448-8888 in the 505.
Take care.